Now presenting Fig and Ford in the Case of the Greater Gatsby. Episode 14, Karma Police. Written and created by Sean Prasad and Sinead Prasad. This episode is brought to you by Hunt-A-Killer.
The next day, I walked up to the office to meet Ford just before noon to talk over the baffling bevy of information we'd uncovered while listening to what amounted to F. Scott Fitzgerald's diary. The last 24 hours had dropped a Pandora's box on our heads, and when it shattered into 1,000 pieces, it spilled out a cornucopia of lies, deceit, mixed metaphors, and now an ominous disappearance. It was all I could do to keep from faking my own death and moving to a villa in France, renaming myself Figsois, and taking a watercolor painting. I've given all I can, but we're still on the payroll. While my brain simmered in a warm bath of existential dread, I opened the door and walked into the office, only to find the place completely empty.
You're late.
I spun around to see Ford reading a newspaper on the floor, unbothered. What on earth was going on here? What on earth is going on here?
What do you mean?
All our stuff, it's disappeared. Is this the work of the dastardly letter threatener? Oh my God, gotta work on a catchier name. Message Menace. Nope, that's bad too. Dispatch Dispatcher. Nope, too clever.
Fig, calm down.
Perhaps the Hinge Highwaymen are leveling up their operation to include furniture and bottles of cheap
Fig,
scotch.
Listen.
Is F. Scott Fitzgerald's murderer trying to insinuate that he'll remove us from this plane of existence like our own office supplies if we continue to unravel the mystery?
Fig, the movers came this morning. Did you not get Wilhelmina's message last night?
Message?
She found us an office. We're moving today.
Wow. Maintaining two full-time jobs really saps your ability to keep up on major life events.
Well, you better gather your wits. You've got a long list of suspects to work through after listening to those tapes. I'm gonna track down Vivian, and I want you to go grill Barnaby. He clearly knew about the affair and lied to us.
Grill Barnaby? My God, are we that angry at him that we want to set him on fire?
What are you talking about?
I thought we were trying to get the truth from people, not season them and roast them over a flame. I didn't know you were a cannibal.
No, it's just a saying. It means to interview or interrogate.
Well, there's two way better things you could have said rather than make up a whole new meaning for an existing word. Language has rules, Ford, and I'm a caretaker of
it's
those.
It's not a... Oh, fine. Just go interview Barnaby.
Well, I would. It's just that I'm filming my big tab number today.
Oh, for the love of Noah.
Yeah, that's what it's called, for the love of Noah. Noah's the eldest Jode's son. Kind of strange. Loves to farm.
All right, forget it. I'll try to track down Barnaby and Vivian. Have fun jitterbugging with your actor pals.
It's tap dancing, and I've worked really hard on it. I needed to calm down once I hit the studio lot, so I grabbed a cup of tea from Crafty before heading into wardrobe. As I stirred in some honey, the sound of a particularly violent sneeze startled me. I turned to see T.D. Hammermeister walking with purpose down the corridor. Wherever he was headed in such a hurry would have to wait. I ran to catch up with him. T.D., good morning.
Miss Weinstein, I wish I could say it was, but we have to replace Lex's punch whistle by the end of the day, and I need to get these headshots to Mel's office pronto.
Gesundheit.
Danke, mein Lieber.
Must be a bum deal to be allergic to chamomile tea. Why don't you ask your wife to keep it off the lot?
Oh, I've asked. She said no. In fact, she started having craft services order more. Her audacity and disregard for silly things like human health are some of the reasons why I married her.
I'd love to know what your mother was like. Another time.
Hey, how'd you know I was allergic to tea?
Just listen to some very interesting evidence in the Fitzgerald case. His tapes, recorded live from the man's office. You featured heavily in a few of them.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear, indeed. You can see why I might want to pin you down after hearing how Fitzgerald banned you from the social club now known as Bixby's Brigade. T.D. froze. Sweat beaded at his temples, and I feared I'd have to shout for the set medic, who I assumed would be Penny. Take it easy, Theodio. Unless you killed the man. Then, don't take it so easy.
You know the sight of other people's blood makes me faint. And, in fact, you'll remember that the sight of my own blood can make me faint. I could never. No matter how humiliated I was, sometimes I faint just thinking about...
T.D. passed out onto the ground, headshots flying all over the place. I collected them and stuck one on top of the pile. Gal named Juniper Wetblossom. I'd seen her in Willie's Suffering Safari last year, playing a safari tour guide who was afraid of animals. Hilarious. After a minute, T.D. came too, and I helped him up. All right, up you get. Just to let you know, there was no blood involved in Fitzgerald's murder.
Oh. Well, How would I know that? Since, you know, I didn't do it.
Uh-huh. Here, take your headshots back. Where were you that night? Just for my notes.
The wife was hosting her annual Christmas party. I was part of the catering staff.
Oh, brother.
And once the party wrapped up, Mel, Sheila, and I chatted. It was late. I went to bed around 3 a.m. after cleaning up.
Can you get me an invitation list to that party?
Of course.
For an awkward moment, TD stood there, grinning at me. What is it?
Mel usually dismisses me when I'm supposed to leave.
You're dismissed, buddy. TD saluted me, then continued his trek to Mel's office.
While Fig shirked her duties as an underpaid junior private investigator to go work a different job that would certainly help support her fancy hat habit, I went to find Barnaby to confront him about his lies. Barnaby's assistant Grace was half hidden behind stacks of paperwork. The phone was ringing off the hook, but she seemed too frazzled to be able to add it to her immediate to-do list.
If you're here for the editor-in-chief, he isn't in at the moment. And before you try it, he has no secret daughters.
And where might the editor-in-chief be in the middle of the day?
It's personal. I can take a message.
I need to grill him about a few things. If you could tell me where he is,
Why would you grill him? Are you a cannibal?
What? No. No, to grill someone is a saying. It's a thing people say.
Yeah, when they want to eat them.
No, not when... Look, I don't want to eat anyone!
Oh my god, that guy wants to eat someone.
Hello. No, I don't want to eat anyone, actually. So, thank you. You're all doing great work. Even George.
Thanks, but I am definitely not.
Look, I just want to interview Barnaby. That's what grill means.
No one says that. Anyways, Mr. Nightingale didn't tell me where he was going. It's that personal.
Coffee pot is overflowing in the kitchen. Saw it on my way in.
George! Did you press the button twice again?
As Grace stormed off to attend to a non-existent coffee mishap, I rifled through her Rolodex and found Barnaby Nightingale's card. I clocked the address and was out of there before George could even apologize for something he didn't do.
Willie and I had rehearsed the big tap number with Penny at least 100 times since lunch. I felt like my feet had melted into putty in my shoes, but I was determined to get it in one take so I could continue my investigating.
All right, we have 5 minutes to get this dance number before we're supposed to wrap, and if we go into overtime again, I'm going to lose my mind! Camera is rolling. Sound?
Rolling.
Dancers?
Ready. Remember, keep those steps bouncy. The film is... you know what? I don't even know anymore. Do whatever you want.
And action!
As I danced with a great big Dust Bowl-era smile on my face, I surveyed the people on the other side of the camera. TD had slipped the Christmas party invite list under the door to my dressing room only moments ago, and nearly everyone here was on it. Darby, we knew, had left the party with her father early in the evening, long before the murder. Willie and Cliff told me they left together around 1:30 a.m. after the murder. No motives, and they were each other's alibis. Mel, Sheila, and TD apparently stayed at the party until early in the morning. Willie, Penny, and Leary were also there, along with half the studio employees. Someone at that party saw Fitzgerald leave and knew he'd be alone in his apartment since Sheila was still at Mel's.
And... cut!
Did we get it?
That was amazing, Fig.
Oh, my grapes. I hope we got it because I don't think I have another one in me.
Camera looks good. Sound. Hey, sound guy. Sound! Did we get it?
Nope, sorry. Wasn't actually rolling. Thought I was, but turns out I wasn't.
Confound it!
I'm gonna get you, sound guy. I'm gonna just sign you up for all sorts of junk mail and brochures for super niche novelty items that no man would ever want.
Oh, dang it. Those are some of my best reaction faces.
Oh, God. I'm going down.
Fig? Fig fell to the ground with a thud. Ooh, voiceover is fun.
Wait, I was wrong. I was recording. Got it. I thought I was and I thought I wasn't and then... turns out I was.
Oh, thank Cassiopeia above!
We did it! We made our day. For the first time in Grapes of Wrath history,
We finished on time!
Congratulations, everyone!
Willie helped me back onto my feet, and a surge of pride coursed through me. For a moment, I forgot I was in the middle of a murder investigation.
Celebration at Bixby's! First round's on Mel! Yeah, it's on Mel! You thought it'd be on me. Nope!
Oh, this is just so much fun!
And TD, please fire that sound man! Penny! You can hold a boom, right? No, it's not hard. You just hold it.
The cab driver dropped me off high in the Hollywood Hills, outside a massive mansion perched amidst a large, well-manicured lawn. A wrought iron gate keeping the riffraff out of the Nightingale estate stretched high with tendrils of ivy snaking around each bar. I rang the doorbell, and soon an older woman traipsed down to the gate, suspicion lining her brow.
Can I help you?
Ford Phillips, P.I., here to grill the Nightingales.
Grill? The Nightingales? I am their housekeeper, and I won't have any grilling here, human or otherwise. It's a fire hazard around this much vegetation. The HOA would not approve.
No, not grill like...
Well, that's what you said. Don't words have meanings anymore?
Where are they?
Out on a personal errand.
This is important.
So are personal errands.
I'm beginning to think these phonies skip town.
If that will be all from the very rude and pushy cannibal... Huh?
The housekeeper turned on her heel and headed back to the mansion. I found it hard to believe that no one knew where a big-shot newsman was during a business day in the middle of multiple important investigations after having his life threatened. Or what the phrase to grill someone meant. Next stop, Bixby's. On the off chance I could catch Vivian. I got to Bixby's just after 5:30. It's amazing how much of your day just gets eaten up by being in traffic here in Los Angeles. I'm sure they'll figure out a better system in the future, but for now, I drown the spirits of a mostly wasted day by getting mostly wasted on spirits. Bix, dark and stormy. Extra dark.
One full glass of rum coming up.
Is Vivian in, or did she quit and flee town?
Quit? Vivian just signed a brand new contract. Had some weird clause about cannot be voided even in the event of change in ownership. Very odd, but I do like signing my name. So I agreed to it. Anyways, she should be in a few minutes.
Great. Also, do you know that to grill someone means to interview or interrogate them? Please tell me that
Excuse me, are you Ford Phillips?
I turned to see a nebbishy, bald, bespectacled man in a sweater vest, fingers delicately balancing a glass of wine. I didn't recognize him, but the voice rang a bell. Depends on who's asking.
Donald Ogden Stewart.
I know who you are. Former member of the Algonquin Roundtable and Bixby's Brigade. Screenwriter, most recently of the Philadelphia Story. Frenemy to one F. Scott Fitzgerald. And noted communist. I miss anything?
It seems you've done your research.
What brings you to Bixby's, Mr. Stewart? Let me guess. With Fitzgerald and his Greater Gatsby script out of the way, your path to rejoin the brigade is clear.
Well, that's one way to frame it. I'm devastated at Scott's death. We've known each other since we were young. We worked together, and yes, we worked against each other. We had a falling out while writing The Women, George Cukor's film from last year. All of that derm and strang for naught. None of our work even ended up in the picture. He's a frustrating fellow, to be sure. Maybe it's the years of friendship tinting those otherwise clear glasses, but I loved him dearly, warts and all. With that said, I am indeed here to rejoin my comrades, to provide them comfort, to selfishly provide myself some distraction. And yes, I am fully aware of the target that puts on my back with regards to your investigation. Dorothy told me everything.
Well, after that admission, and the recording I just heard of you and Fitzy's final falling out, I'm gonna need to know where you were on December 20th.
I figured as much, but first I thought you might find some interest in this.
He handed me a very familiar-looking piece of paper with cut-out letters. It read, "Parodies, Adaptations, and Remakes. Give us something original, or the only Red Scare you'll be a part of is the one discovered by the cops in your bathtub."
I'm not the biggest fan of the police in this town, so when I saw you sitting here, I thought it was best to alert you. Perhaps I'm wrong, but I think not.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Mind if I hang on to this?
By all means.
You notice anything strange lately? Anyone following you? Anyone listening to your phone calls?
With my political proclivities, that sort of thing is unfortunately quite standard.
I didn't have time to push any further. Just then, one of my elusive targets from the day emerged from a side door, backlit in a mesmerizing haze. Everyone in the bar seemed to watch as Vivian Nightingale made her way towards us.
Well, well, if it isn't my favorite employee. Strange how I keep running into you on your off hours. I assume you're not billing me while you drink that. Is that just a full glass of rum?
Listen, Toots, you got a lot of nerve waltzing in here and acting like my boss. We got you on tape with F. Scott Fitzgerald at his apartment the night of his murder. I've been trying to track you and your lying no-good husband down all day. None of your errand boys wanted to give you up. Looking into fake passports and villas in Argentina?
Let me guess. Did they say it was personal?
Yeah.
Yes, well, we were at our marriage counselor. Barnaby would hate it if anyone knew, hence the secrecy.
If you want me to believe a word of
that... Here, a receipt for today's session. And here's our therapist's card. Please, do call. Or, just to be certain, go down to the office and grill everyone there.
Grill?
Oh, please, it means to interview or interrogate. Calm down, I'm not a cannibal.
No, it's just that...
And as for the tape I'm guessing you found, well, congrats. I guess that means you're doing your job. Yes, I lied about being home. Wouldn't you? That tape makes me quite suspicious. But I left and saw my husband's car outside.
Why didn't you tell
us? Because that would have placed me at the scene of the crime. Come now, Mr. Phillips, I thought you were smarter than all this. A girl's gotta do what a girl's gotta do. Now, I'd love to continue this little chat, but I need to get stage ready. Can't wear this frumpy number up there, can I?
Red always looked best on you, Vivian.
Donald! So good to see you back here. You've picked a good one. You're gonna love tonight's show. See you boys later.
Now that's one Nightingale I wouldn't mind birdwatching.
Sure, as long as you could also keep an eye on your own back. As Donald and I followed Vivian's lazy slink backstage, I wondered just how true Vivian's claim of not being a cannibal really was. She seemed the very definition of a man-eater. Damn, that's good! Oh, should have said that earlier. I was about to relay this clever bon mot to Don Stewart when a boisterous group entered from the other side of the bar. It was Fig and her merry band of players, looking pretty happy for a group that had just endured multiple death threats and a mysterious disappearance. They were... Actually, she's probably doing a voiceover right now. You should just go listen to her.
If you're just joining this voiceover already in progress, the cast and crew of the Grapes of Wrath were entering Bixby's like a sports team, entering the... Arena? Field? Pitch? I didn't play sports in high school. High fives and good cheer all around. Well, except for Rex, who sullenly brought up the rear, looking at what I imagined were pictures of his missing siblings in a locket.
Bixby! Hey! Hi! Bixby! A round of shots for everyone!
Put it on Mel's tab.
Coming right up. What's the occasion?
We finished our shoot day on schedule for the first time!
I'm happy for you, but concerned that professional filmmakers such as yourselves have been thus far unable to do that.
Yeah, you and me both, buddy. Cheers, everyone! What is this? Straight ginger ale?
I had some Stormy left over from an earlier dark and stormy that went heavy on the dark.
Feels wrong to celebrate when my sister could be in a ditch somewhere. Cheers.
I don't know if he's heard yet, but they've already recast Lex.
Oh, who is it, Darby?
Juniper Wet Blossom, up and comer.
I worked with her on Saffron Safari. This is going to be so great.
Oh,
except for the part where she's getting a role because of another actress vanishing under strange circumstances and possibly being dead.
Hey, Darby, is Sheila coming to the meeting tonight?
I'm not sure, but look over there. It's Donald Stewart. It'll be great to have him back. I really missed him.
Say, that's wonderful. You know, he asked me to write a song for the Philadelphia Story. But getting anything to rhyme with Philadelphia was trickier than corralling a Jersey bull with half a bola. I asked him if he could change the city to Tallahassee. Lots of fun you can have with that one. For instance.
But before Leary could introduce us to some of his favorite rhymes, the front door burst open, and a mob of LAPD foot soldiers poured into the bar. At the center of them all, with a pair of handcuffs dangling from his fingers, was Mo Beats. I locked eyes with Ford across the bar. Behind him, Vivian Nightingale slid out from backstage, a smug smile on her face.
All right, everyone just calm down. We're here to arrest Bixby Crane for the harboring of anti-American activists. Bixby's lounge is under new management. And that management is me.
Shipwrecked Comedy presents The Case of the Greater Gatsby, written and created by Sean Persaud and Sinead Persaud, directed by William Joseph Stribling. Featuring Sinead Persaud as Fig Wineshine, Sean Persaud as Ford Phillips, Blake Silver as T.D. Hammermeister, Mary Kate Wiles as Grace Beckins and Vivian Nightingale, Joey Richter as Newspaper Person, Dylan Saunders as George and Donald Ogden Stewart, Parvesh Chaina as Whitley Trufflehouse, Tommy Hobson as Sound Guy, Sarah Grace Hart as Wilhelmina Vanderjetsky, Lauren Lopez as Penny Nickelpenny and Housekeeper, Carlos Alizraki as Leary O'Shaughnessy, Dante Swain as Bixby Crane, Brian Rosenthal as Rex Punchwhistle, Jenny D as Darby Farnsworth, and Matthew Mercer as Mo Beats. Original music by Dylan Glathorn. Audio recording by Noah Hunt Audio. Mixing and sound design by Lizzie Goldsmith. Executive producers Paul Komorowski and Michael Walsh. Produced by Sean Persaud, Sinead Persaud, and Mary Kate Wiles. Special thanks to Kickstarter backers Katie Adamchik, Allie Brown, Zainab Khan, Xiaoxi Kuo, Jane Leach, Avalee Long, Liesl Perrine, Halsey Root, The Rude Mechanicals, Heather Tennant, and Justin Waterman. Please rate and review the show wherever you listen. Join us on Patreon at patreon.com/shipwreckcomedy to receive early access to new episodes and other bonus content, and to support us making this show. Visit Shipwrecked Comedy on YouTube to view the prequel film for this series, The Case of the Gilded Lily, or many of our other projects, like A Telltale Vlog, a short vlog series that follows Edgar Allan Poe as he struggles to write The Raven. The Case of the Greater Gatsby will return in 2024 after a brief hiatus. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at instagram.com/shipwreckedcomedy to get updates on all things Shipwrecked Comedy and Fig and Ford.